sorry. Whatever ministry it is, there's always going to need to be servants to do those ministries for them to run. Obviously, Brian is our head pastor, but he can't be in every ministry. He can't run everything at the same time. He can't orchestrate CSA and make sure the concession stand is going at the same time. So, you know, us as believers of this church and members of this church, it's our duty to step in and to help where God calls us to help, or you just see a need. But it's not the fact of us doing it, but it's our heart while we're doing it. And if you've been here the last several vision conferences, we focused on the heart, you know, plowing a field with a heart. You know, what does our heart look like while we're serving? Are we doing it because they just need the help and we don't really want to, but we're going to? Or is it because God's called you to do it and you do it with a servant's heart? And you're just thankful that this church is doing this and doing that, and you're just busy 24/7. What does your heart look like while you're doing it? So this year we're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on what it looks like to have charity, what it looks like to have love, what it looks like to serve with love instead of with just whatever state that your heart is in. Of course, this is probably that time where, you know, this isn't to everyone as a whole. It's more to individuals to do a self-evaluation. You know, what does your heart look like while you're doing these said things and you're doing these ministries? You know, there's been several times that we've come in and just our heart's not right. Well, that affects everything. You know, you're in the children's ministry, that affects your attitude, that affects how the kids act. It's just it's a domino effect of how everything is affected. Even the adults around you, it affects everything. And so it's always good to do a heart check. It's always good to do a self-evaluation just to see where you are on your personal walk with Christ. And then you can do an evaluation on the people around you while you're serving with them and fellowshipping with them. So if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 13 verses. But this is what we're going to break down this year as we go throughout the men's breakfast to, once again, it's to give us tools. It's not me telling you what to do or myself how to do it or what's right, what's wrong. It's what Scripture tells us and how we should apply those things in our life. So, Father, just thank you for this time. Thank you for just really putting my eyes and opening my heart to this chapter of 1 Corinthians and really understanding what it means to just apply and be a servant and to serve your church with a servant's heart, to serve you and your kingdom. And not only that, but to see other people serving with a servant's heart and to just fellowship with them and to love on them and to really just build your foundation and put you in the center of our relationships. Just pray that you set me aside, Lord. You just speak through me. Just thank you for this time, and we love you. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 13, I'll start in verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. Doth not believe itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. In verse 6 it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In verse 11 it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And verse 13 it says, now And now abideth in faith, or abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So that's what we're going to cover this year, is charity. As you know, just heard that it's explained in every aspect possible, as us as believers, as men, as fathers, as husbands, just in the workplace. But I covered, I was preaching in Passaic on Sunday, and I had the opportunity to finish off Ephesians. And I really like how he broke it down, because Paul was talking to the believers. And the last chapter, or the last two chapters, 4-6, it really covers believers in the world. How are we supposed to be in the world, but not be, or like we're a part of it, but we're not supposed to act like them. We're not supposed to, you know, be in the world. We're not of the world. I mean, we are in it. I said that backwards. We are in it, but we're not a part of it. We don't do the things that they do, but we don't have a choice but to go out into the workforce. You know, it's not like, you know, Luke still does. He comes to the church every day. He works here, but he still has to go to the bank. He still has to go to these different places, call different people. He's still in the world, and we have no choice but to do that, but it's how we present ourselves to the world. And so today we're going to cover on charity, and we're going to cover it throughout the year. So the charity definition is the general sense is it's love, benevolence, goodwill, that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. Theological sense is supreme love to God and universal goodwill to man. That's in the 1828 the dictionary, which really helps you look up the word, and then it gives you verses to cross-reference it with. It's really good. So the general sense is love, and that's what the verse or the chapter covers, which I thought, and to when we started this, was charity was, you know, serving, right? It was charity. You're giving your time. You're sacrificing your time, and you're going to, we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do, right? As believers, we're supposed to just volunteer everywhere and say yes to everything. I remember when we first got saved that I was the yes guy. I was always saying yes to everything, and I didn't go about it the right way all the time. I didn't consult Holly. I would just tell her, hey, we're supposed to be here because I said yes. Or do this or do that. And then it really dawned on me when we had the twins that that changed drastically, because it was really affecting my house. You know, she needed me at home, but I was saying yes to other people, so therefore I was putting ministry in other people before my wife. And it was not looking good. It was, you know, it was becoming very noticeable at home, and I had to change it. I had to start saying no, which is very difficult when you have a servant's heart. That's what I've been blessed with. And saying no to people is difficult for me, even family, friends, whatever it is. Usually I'm all about it. It's easier today. I can, you know, tell everybody else no like I tell her no. It's the same thing. It rolls right off the tongue. It's pretty easy. But it took a long time to get there, to just say no, because my priorities needed to be shifted, you know, and that's just the way it was. So to me, charity was volunteering. It was being the yes man when I really needed to be the no man. So at some point when I am serving the people of the church and I go home and my wife is mad at me, well, where does my heart ride or rest in then? The fact that she's mad at me, and I know that, but I'm going to go do it anyway. So I'm not really serving with a whole heart of love. I'm doing it because I did say yes, but I really want to be at home. So that puts me in a bind, right? And that means you're not serving with your whole heart, which is what we need to do. And so just studying this out, the definition of charity is love. It's doing it with love. So we're going to cover we're going to cover, if you look back at 1 Corinthians 12, it kind of gives us context of what verse 13 is when it comes to spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 27, it says, let's try that one more time. Verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? By covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. So Paul is saying, you know, to the Corinth, the people of Corinth, that are really, like, they're really favoring spiritual gifts. at this point in time. They're really favoring, you know, how, like, what is their spiritual gift and what can they do with it. And so he's, you know, being Paul, he knows where they're at mentally, spiritually. So he meets them there, and that's where chapter 13 comes into play. Spiritual gifts are special abilities, talents, or capacities given to individual Christians by the Holy Spirit. For the purpose, don't lose sight of this, it's for the purpose of serving God and others within the Christian community. These gifts are not natural talents, but supernatural endowments provided by God's grace. They are meant to build up the church and to glorify God in His kingdom. We are given gifts of serving, or given gifts of just apostles or evangelism or whatever it is. Like, whatever your gift is, it's best to capitalize on that gift. That's what God has given you for the different ministries. You know, if you don't like kids, you don't want anything to do with kids, you hate kids, well, unless God called you there, I probably wouldn't go to the children's ministry. If you're not a tech-savvy guy, Ron can teach you a lot of things. Yeah. Yeah. Not aggressive, but you know what I mean. Like, you got to look at your self-evaluation, right? If you're not tech-savvy, if you still have a flip phone, I wouldn't go to AV. Ron can teach you a lot of things, but I don't know. If you can't lift anything, I probably wouldn't go help somebody move unless you're just there for moral support. It's those kinds of things that I'm talking about, where self-evaluation comes into play. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's letting them know, hey, you are gifted in this area. Here's what you can do with it. So verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. So there's 3 points that I really want to point out in the first 3 verses here. The first point for verse 1 is love with words. As you can see, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Matthew 10:19-20 says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We have truth right here. Like, this is truth. You can read all the way through Scripture. Scripture is truth. And those are the words we're supposed to use. We're supposed to encourage people with truth. We're supposed to encourage them with love. Without love, we literally have nothing. And that's what the rest of the verse says. It says, and I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. I looked it up because I'm like, what are those? So those are literally the instruments that are annoying. Believe it or not, that's what it says. They are, when you don't know how to play them right, they can be annoying. I'm sure everybody in here has grown up with kids and a flute when they bring it home from school. I was lucky and had 3 at the same time that have a flute. And I love my kids, but I don't like to see flutes. But anyways, so a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal is just annoyance. And that's what it is to serve without love. So verse 2, so the first one, we have love with words, though I speak with tongues. The first 2, it says, though I have not the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So the first verse was love with words. The second one is love with action. And of course, when you say love with action, that brings me to the Great Commission. You know, Matthew 28:19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15-16, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I wouldn't walk down the high street in London saying to everybody that you're damned if you're not saved. It's a little aggressive, but once again, that's where the art of, you know, evangelism comes into play. So it's using your words. It's love with your words so that you can love with your actions. You know your words, you know the Scripture, or you're pretty, you know, obviously, like, if you're just getting saved. I mean, actually, I take that back. I think we were saved, what, a year when we went to London?
little more.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't very long. We were going through discipleship with Jason Page, and we got saved in discipleship. And then we went to London. Our very first mission trip was the High Street in London. Awesome trip. I loved it. We learned a lot on that trip, because to believe it or not, you might, you know, puff it up. You might know things, but you don't know things until you have to explain them to people. And then people come back with an argument. So, you know, all the times that we practiced and, you know, one on another, they're not as aggressive as people can be. Actually, I take that back. Holly was. Holly was really aggressive when we were practicing. But it's good, because that's just the way it is. You get out there and you put action to your words, you pretty well have to know what you're talking about. Or they you know, you're not spreading the truth, but it's the effort, right? You're serving. You're giving that your servant's heart. We run into Jehovah's, like in Boston. I think it was the year before, we ran into Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, they gave us their whole deal, and we were respectful, and we listened, and we had conversation. Until we busted out our Bibles, and we started, you know, just comparing and saying, hey, you know, yours says this, and you said this, but this is what this says. And then they just turn around and walk away. And that's, to me, in my eyes, that is, you know, you're not going to catch a crowd that way. So you have to know who you're speaking to, and that's what Paul is doing here. He knows who he's speaking to. God has given him the gift to know his crowd. And, you know, I'm not going to come in here and talk about what women should do. This isn't the crowd for that. No, I didn't read the room very well if I did that. But we are, you're to read the room, you're to serve with love and respect. Not just cram the gospel down somebody's throat and then push them away when they say, no, I don't want any part of that. Not going to win very many hearts that way. You're not going to prove this to be right when you're acting wrong. And that's just the way it is. So the Great Commission is for us to go. So first you have your words. You got to know what to say and when to say it. And then you have your actions. You got to put that word, this truth, to your feet and start walking and keep moving forward. And physically, but also spiritually, because there's going to be things that set you back. They're just the way it is. Spiritually, you're growing, and then you get stuff happens, right? And then you start moving backwards. I've done that many times. You hit a lot of trenches. But scripture and prayer is the way to go. But it's doing that. It's continuously studying to keep your feet moving forward. Whether the pace is your pace or God's pace. I know when we first got saved, a lot, it was rapid. Excuse me. We got saved. We did D1. We were in D2 before D1 ended. D2 ended. We were in How to Disciple. And then we were in HPI. That was the first 3 years. It took us a while to get through D1. We had kids during D1. And it took longer to go through D1 than anything else. But that's great, because that gave us time to grow. Right? Anytime you try to speed up God's timing, you're going to fall backwards. So you might as well just be patient with God's timing, with what He's doing in your life. Go at that pace. I promise you it'll be worth it. Be worth the reward. But we were going through D1 and all these things, and I'm not boasting about accomplishments. It was rough. It was a struggle going through all these things, and then, you know, once again, my home life, it reflected, because there was no solid foundation there. Christ was not in the center, because my focus was everywhere else. So where my focus is everywhere else, and that's the way it is today too. When I lose focus of my house is in disarray. Holly automatically, it's just the way that the things naturally work. I'm the head of the household, I'm the father, I'm the husband. When I'm not right with this, then my relationship with them is not right. You know, just like work. My work relationships, even though they're lost, I'm right with this, or I try to stay right with this on a daily basis, so I can keep all the relationships around me the right way. So when things go astray, then it's easier to self-evaluate. I can automatically check off that it's not because I'm not in the Word. So what else is going on? But it's also good to have it on my heart, right? To be able to evangelize and to speak to people at my job, or even my kids. You know, well, we want to do this. Well, what does the Bible say? What does it say? It's wrong or right? And then, so you're teaching them at the same time you're helping them to grow. You're guiding them without any aggression or without any physical touch. It's literally, you're just training them by you doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it took us a long time, still to this day. It's a practice. It's never going to end. You're never going to get to that finish line, because there is no finish line until Christ comes back. So it's daily growing, because there is times that we just succumb to our flesh, and that's just the way it is. But if your spirit's not strong, then what are you going to? You can only serve one thing. If you're not serving your spirit, you're serving your flesh. There's nothing in the middle. There is no black and white, or it is black and white. There's no gray area. It's literally you're serving one or serving the other. It's just the way it works. So verse one is talking about the love of word, or love with words. And then the second one is love with action, which is the Great Commission to go, put your feet forward. And then the third one that I always struggle with is love with sacrifice. Verse 3, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So the word profiteth, I love the word profit. The first time that I did a Bible study on it was in HBI, and we studied out Philemon, and we looked at Onesimus. And Onesimus, it says in Scripture, in verse 11, that he profiteth nothing. He was unprofitable, and then he was profitable. That's salvation. He was unprofitable to the kingdom of God because he didn't have God dwelling within him. He didn't have the Spirit dwelling within him. So, therefore, he's unprofitable. How can you profit a kingdom if you don't have the kingdom in you? And I love that verse because it shows the drastic change in Onesimus as an individual. And that's with all of us. If you go from unprofitable to profitable, you have that salvation. You have God, that Spirit dwelling within you. And you just allow him to control your life. I know that sounds a little aggressive. If you allow him to guide you, we'll use that. If you allow him to guide you, it's amazing where you will end up. You know, that's the whole part of a testimony. In my 37 years, I know where I was to where I am now, and I can kind of see where God's taken us. That's the whole point of the testimony. Like, I've reached more people with just my testimony, even though it's pretty lame, but it's still a testimony. And I reach people with that. Because that's real. Like, even though they don't believe in this, they believe they can see my life change physically. It's right in front of their eyes. And so, anyways, loving with sacrifice. And John, of course, we know several examples of sacrifice. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He sacrificed his one and begotten Son. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commandeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That is the one sacrifice that paid for all of our sins. Right? And we all know that, of course, but just in case you didn't, that is the one sacrifice that paid for all of our sins. We were all sinners, and we're still sinners today. If you think you can go 1 minute of a day without sinning, there's a problem, because it's inevitable. We have flesh. And that flesh, it shines its light sometimes. We sin. But the great thing is that we serve a very gracious God. We serve a God that will forgive us. Just gotta ask. And not just run away from the problems, because your problems are only gonna grow bigger. And so it takes a lot of time to understand that. It takes a lot of time to just understand that all you gotta do is just pray and say, "Change me. Change my heart. Change my intentions. Change my, whatever I'm doing wrong. Just show it to me. Show it to whoever. Bring it to light so I can fix it." And I've had that happen several times. But that's what we see as sacrifice. Another way of sacrifice is, once again, we go back to our time. Our time is very valuable. My time is very valuable. And, of course, everybody's time, it looks different for their schedules. But there's a lot of things I told you back in the day when I used to sacrifice family time for serving time. I didn't know a balance. I didn't know what was, you know, I just thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. You know, Christ was a servant. He served others. So why are you telling me that I can't? But it's not that I can't. It's just I have to prioritize. I have to put Christ first, and then my wife, and then my kids, as it states in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 3 or 11. Anyways, that's the structure. You have Christ first, and then you have your wife, and then your kids, and then everything else below that, ministry, work, all of those things. But the first thing at the head of the table is Christ. You have to, and that's this right here. That is reading this book on a daily basis. That is building that relationship with him. If you look at all your relationship, what's the key foundation to a relationship? It's communication. There is no such thing as a relationship without communication. That's just the way it is. You can't have a relationship with somebody and not talk to them. I don't know how that would work. because you don't know who they are. You don't talk to each other, so it takes communication of some sort. I know when Holly and I first got together 16 years ago, I told her that was the one thing we had to do, that we had to perfect, was communication. Simple. At times. Other times it's really not, because you don't know how to communicate. And us as men, our communication can lack sometimes, or details, or whatever else the case is. Or we yell that because there's not enough emotion in our communication. Like, why aren't you emotional? You get that a lot. But it's just the way it is. But we have to adapt to that, right? I know a lot of you, right? I'm not living with you, and I'm not inside your body. I'm not inside your mind. So you know you best. And that's the point. Once again, we circle back around to self-evaluation. You know you best. So self-evaluate that. See where you are personally before you start dishing out all your skills and all your assets and resources to other people. Where are you at? Because once again, the world loves to be selfish, but in our way of doing things, it's how can we be selfish for His kingdom? How can we serve Him without serving ourselves, if that makes any sense? You have to serve the Spirit that dwells in you. But first, you have to have the Spirit that dwells in you, which is salvation. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's the least you could do. And be not conformed to this world. Once again, we go back to being in the world and not being being a part of the world. I have that backwards of some sort. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, in the world, not of the world. There we go. Once again, you have no choice but to be in it. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right here. We covered, not last year, it was the year before, we went through the Ephesians and the armor of God. And the last one was the helmet of salvation. And we look at it, we have to have that helmet. We have to have the helmet on after we have the helmet, right? Or the helmet of salvation is salvation, but it's wearing the helmet. It's the verbiage is having the helmet. It's protection. Where's Satan going to attack you first? It's in your mind, because your mind controls the rest of everything that you do. Your thinking, your movements, your reactions, it controls everything. So where does he start? He doesn't start at your toes. That profits him nothing. He starts at your mind. And he starts to warp it. That's why this scripture is so important to have. Because if you have it on your heart, you know what's going on. You're aware. You have that relationship with Christ. You have these things to be aware of what's going on. So, be by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you serve Him with love, and you serve others with love, you are that image. It tells us in Scripture that we are the image of Christ. We are His image. And what did He do? He washed His disciples' feet. The best analogy I like is when He was washing Judas's feet. And if you look at the verses before that chapter, He knew that what Judas was going to do. And yet He still grabbed that washer or whatever they used. He still washed His feet, no matter what it was. He knew He was going to betray Him. He knew He was going to die on the cross. Obviously, He's all-knowing. But He still gave charity with love. He still served His disciples, every single one of them. He didn't leave Judas out. He didn't wash 11 of them and just leave Judas to the side as a picture. The picture was that He washed His feet anyway. He knew what He was going to do, so He did it anyways. And that's the serving part with love, is how we're supposed to serve others. We're supposed to love our neighbors, and we're supposed to serve them. But it's also in the church body. I told you earlier, there's a lot of events going on here. A lot. And almost every time, a lot of times, that's the ministry is light on workers. The laborers are few. But the harvest is there. The harvest will always be there. But it's our choice to step in and to be the image of Christ and to serve in that ministry, to be able to help the harvest, the sheep, the lambs, whatever it is, harvest party. There's anybody from the public. A lot of events we have these days are public viewed now, like CSA. There's a lot more people from the community than there is of the church. That's a huge window of opportunity. It's a daunting one. Ask Brian, he'll tell you. I think he was short several coaches last year. I think he's looking to expand this year. it's hard for him to do that when the laborers are few. You know, Bob is relying on a lot of us to sacrifice time and effort for 1 month to go out here and to make Bibles. And that's just the way it is. And I say that, and I'll try my best to show up. I do have a job and a family to provide for. But, you know, if I have time, am I going to sit at home or am I going to come up here and try to help Bob the best I can? You know, and then also in the aspect of what's best for my family. I have to, all those things take into play, but it's us evaluating that time to come and help, to serve. Because those Bibles are going to Albania and going to reach people that don't have a Bible at all. We can go to the store, go to Barnes & Noble. You will see a whole section on Bibles of many different translations. We have that opportunity. We have the opportunity just to go buy Amazon. I can get it here tomorrow or even today if I do it in time. We have that access, and they don't. But we have the chance, just like the Bible conference, to serve and to make those Bibles. But it's, once again, it circles back around to doing it with love and how we're doing it and our intentions. Are we doing it, you know, with a bad heart? Well, how many Bibles do you think you'll make with a bad heart? And that, you know, once again, those Bibles are going somewhere very important to do very important things that us as men cannot do or humans cannot do. Those are supernatural things that the Bible does. So, so we're going to cover charity this year and really go in depth of what it looks like to not just serve, but it's how we're serving and how we're, where our heart's at with that. So I will pray real quick and then we are done. Father, just thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just loving us and sacrificing your son for us and giving us the image that sacrifice is necessary, but it's how we're going to do it. Today's world is sacrifice nothing and profited something. And I'm just so thankful that I can serve your church, serve your kingdom, and not profit and not have those expectations of profiting something on my end. Just doing it with no reward and just being in the back, just being a no name. And I'm just so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that and to show my kids, my boys, to do the same thing, to live in the image of you. And you give us this perfect illustration using Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. To serve with love and to serve with a servant's heart and to do it accordingly and decently in order as your scripture tells us to do. I just thank you for this time and we love you. Amen. So we'll take the next, just the few minutes that we have.